This is an ABC podcast.
This is Baby Talk Podcast with Penny Johnston.
More than 280 women a day in Australia experience an early pregnancy loss. Probably it's before they've told many people or made too many plans. Although we know more than one in four pregnancies will end in a loss, this is still a huge burden that people are expected to bear, and mostly alone. In the past, we were encouraged to keep this bad news to ourselves and just try again. Probably because no one really likes talking about pregnancy loss. But some 4 years ago, my next guest, after her second miscarriage, said, "Enough is enough." She realised she needed to get help and didn't know where to turn. So she began an organisation to help others deal with pregnancy loss. She called it the Pink Elephant Foundation, after the legend that elephants support a mother who's experienced a loss of an offspring by gathering in a circle around it. So Pink Elephant has grown on social media and in the practical way they are able to acknowledge and help women process their grief and loss.
From the day that you see those two lines or that cross, is that the day that your whole world changes and you imagine a future with a baby in your arms in the next 6 to 9 months? And you might lose that baby at 5 weeks the next day, but it doesn't make the devastation any less.
Samantha Payne is CEO and co-founder of the Pink Elephant Support Group, and she joined us to tell us about the extraordinary story of how her group began.
I experienced my own early pregnancy losses just over 4 years ago now. And after suffering my second miscarriage, I tried to find a support network that could help me to understand how I was feeling and why I was feeling this way. And despite extensive searches, I could really only find personal blogs on Google or charities that were more geared up for stillbirth support. And whilst what they offered was fabulous and very much needed in that space, it didn't translate into the type of support that I wanted. I thankfully connected with Gabby over Facebook, and we had a mutual friend, and we knew that we had a shared experience of our own losses. We had a coffee and we decided that we would set up what we thought then would be a Sydney support network, and then we quite quickly realised how big this problem is and what the unmet need is. And ever since then, we've been on a mission just to make sure that no woman walks the journey of early pregnancy loss alone.
Now, what is it about that early pregnancy loss that sort of seems to just get lost in...
Completely lost.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. And that was part of what I identified with. It's I've now learned with hindsight, it's basically disenfranchised grief. People don't want to talk about it because they don't know how to talk about it. And it's far too confronting. And it's something that society has oversighted for such a long period of time now. And the issue is then all of the women are told by health practitioners that early pregnancy loss is common. So you then leave feeling like, well, if it's common, it's something I just need to get over. And there's no further subsequent support offered to you often. So you then start to internalize all of these negative emotions and grief. And because it's not validated as real grief, then it can present later as anxiety and depression. And we've learned that by sharing our stories, by providing meaningful connections to other women who've been through this journey or are going through this journey, that you can really start to alleviate some of those symptoms, and just how powerful it is just to offer validation, empathy, and really meaningful connections. So I just think it's just been completely oversighted in society in general for far too long. And as we're approaching 2020, we're asking everybody around them to play their part in increasing a circle of support around any woman and her partner experiencing the heartache and the grief that comes with an early pregnancy loss.
How early do you class an early pregnancy loss? You know, what's the crossover between that and miscarriage or stillbirth or definitions?
There's quite a few definitions that you hear out there. So for us, early pregnancy loss is as soon as you've peed on a stick and you've got that extra blue line, you fall in love.
Yes.
There's no other way of describing it. And I don't care if that's at 4 weeks or 5 weeks or 6 weeks. From the day that you see those two lines or that cross, is that the day that your whole world changes and you imagine a future with a baby in your arms in the next 6 to 9 months? And you might lose that baby at 5 weeks the next day, but it doesn't make the devastation any less. And then we tend to tip over into these definitions of later term miscarriages and stillbirths, and they're all around the 20 week mark. And we obviously welcome anybody to us, our organisation, for support, but we do primarily focus on the early pregnancy loss, which is anywhere from say 4 weeks up to around 20 weeks. And the reason for that is there is no other organisation organisation out there specifically supporting the needs of these women and their partners, despite the fact it's 103,000 couples a year in Australia. So huge numbers.
That is massive. And you're also talking to couples who really, unfortunately, happens multiple times until you get things sorted out.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's many women in our online communities who have had multiple or recurrent pregnancy loss. So a definition of recurrent pregnancy loss in Australia is you need to have three pregnancy losses before you'll advised for medical further investigations. But we see that after two miscarriages is enough. Many women then are like, okay, no, I need some help now. And we advocate and we try and support them as well to reach out and to ask for support and to just basically see a fertility specialist or their GP and ask for investigations to find out what's going on. And part of what we do by normalizing a conversation around miscarriage gives them the confidence to go and ask for help, because you really shouldn't have to suffer the heartache of this once, let alone multiple times. But unfortunately, a percentage of the population do have recurrent pregnancy loss, and it's heartbreaking.
I would even imagine that the statistics are higher because there's pregnancy loss that would not even get counted or recorded, that couples would just deal with that on their own.
Definitely, we know that. Lead obs and gyns that we work with suspect that the number's much higher. There's been that little talk around miscarriage. There's actually been that little research into it. So these numbers, a lot of them are guesstimated from live birth weights, and then what they're basically reduced down to the miscarriage rate by basically dividing them by 4 or 5. So it's not like we're actually concretely measuring them all the time. Another issue is as well is that, like you said, when women have had multiple miscarriages and then perhaps they've not had the most supportive environment from their healthcare professionals, unfortunately, then they stop reporting these pregnancy losses and they deal with them by themselves, alone and isolated at home.
So what sort of help can you offer, apart from giving women and their partners a forum to deal with it? How does Pink Elephant help?
We refer to a circle of support around a woman and her partner going through early pregnancy loss. First and foremost, we build strong relationships with healthcare professionals to establish ourselves as a clear referral pathway. And for example, this year we've launched a partnership so that we can reach 6,500 GP practices nationally and educate GPs on the impact of early pregnancy loss, the emotional side, as well as ensure that they have resources to be able to give to women who've gone through an early pregnancy loss, as well as providing them with a referral pathway that's clear that they can send their patients to us so they don't feel like they're just sending them away with nowhere to go. Because we know from consultation with GPs that they're time pressured and they're busy and that they previously haven't had anywhere else to concretely send their patients to meet the needs emotionally. So we've run a GP program this year that's extremely successful. In addition to establishing ourselves and making sure medical professionals know we're here to support them and their patients, we run the online communities. We have personalised peer support where a woman can request to be mentored by another woman who's been through loss over the phone for 6 free phone sessions. So it's not to replace clinical counselling. It's kind of like an interim service. And for many women, that's enough. For other women, they'll also need clinical support as well. And we refer on to, for example, Red Nose or Gidget Foundation Australia for that as well. And then in addition to that, we have a whole host of emotional support literature on our website, and it's trusted, it's evidence-based, and it's relevant content that's written from women who've been through this. And it's just written with love and empathy, which was something that I also struggled to find when I'd gone through my miscarriages. You're presented with a lot of clinical terms and as to why this might happen to you, but you're not necessarily given anything that talks about your emotional needs and how you may grieve, and nothing that really validates this as bereavement, which is a huge part of what we want to do as an organisation.
Because I guess, I mean, in one sense you can't sort of really blame people, because this did happen a lot even in the olden days, and everyone was just like, come on, it's all right, just keep going, forget about it, you'll have a live baby soon. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of the way that you dealt with it, by not dealing with it. And I'm sure that there will be women listening who've been in this situation, and possibly they did move on, and just us talking about it gives them a little twinge, but then for others this is going to be agonizing, you know. It's range of ways of doing
it. There is a whole range. And I know even from my own experience, after my first pregnancy loss, I accepted that it was my bad luck and that it was common and that I'd be okay and that I just had to pick myself up. And I went out there and tried to put a brave face on and I pretended everything was fine. It was when it was the second one that it hit me that it got a lot worse. We really try to acknowledge that for some women, one loss is enough where they need absolutely all of the support that we can offer. For other women, that might not be the case. They may be able to face this by themselves and to move forward. And that's absolutely fine. We all deal with challenges in life and grief in different ways. And we just validate that it's okay to feel anyway.
Whichever way you want to deal with it. How do we help our friends who've been through this? We all probably know at least one person who's been through this, and it may have been yesterday, it may have been months or weeks or even years ago. And perhaps we suspect that we haven't dealt all that well with helping them. What do we do and say to help?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really common question. We have an excellent resource, which is Support a Friend. Again, free to download, accessible from our website. And it's all really about validating however they're feeling. Again, letting them know that it's okay to feel anyway. It's also okay to grieve years later. We have many women who come to us who had their experience much earlier on, and then they come to us now for support, and that's absolutely fine too. The best thing from a friend's perspective is to be there for them physically, to check in on them regularly, to not be upset if they're not responding to you all of the time. And it's not about trying to fix anything and make them feel better. There's no minimizing grief. There's no at least, you know, you can get pregnant, or at least this, or at least you have a child. Please try and refrain away from that language. And it's okay just to say, I'm sorry for your loss. I'm here for you if you need me. And then to show them that you're there by consistently checking in with them and making sure if there's any way you can help them practically, then stepping up and being there for them in that moment of darkness means so much more than trying to minimize or trying to fix them, because it's not their fault and there's nothing you can do to fix this situation. What's far more powerful is acknowledging how awful this situation and validating it for them as real grief.
I can't believe that you have in 4 years assembled so much helpful and useful information and resources for women going through these. You probably haven't had time to do anything else.
No, I've managed to have my own pregnancy after loss and my second baby, born healthily, Johnny, who's now a thriving 2.5-year-old boy. So he's my rainbow baby.
Yes,
I've been really busy, but I'm extremely driven because it's not okay to have so many women still feel completely isolated. So we touched back in with our community last year because we're really passionate about research, and we surveyed 1,700 women, and 75% who've had a miscarriage in the last 2 years within Australia feel unsupported. And that's not okay. They don't have a clear referral to anywhere for support. The medical professionals that have dealt with them aren't sending them to a support organisation such as the Pink Elephants. And so I'm extremely passionate about changing this landscape. I want to open up a conversation around early pregnancy loss. I want it validated as real grief. And I just want to ensure that no one walks this journey alone, because it's hard enough as it is. You need to be surrounded by a circle of support, and to have that loss validated really does help you to heal and to move forward.
That's so important. Have you had some great stories from people who've told you how much you've helped?
Yeah, it grows every day. I'm kind of in a place of awe and privilege right now, that I am privileged to be the person to lead this change, which is extremely, incredibly important. And the messages of support that we receive back as an organisation are just beautiful. Again, we share them quite a lot on our social media because they're powerful to show people that you will see the light again and things will get easier whilst it's very dark and hard right now. And often the really simple messages, we can't thank you enough for being there for us in our time of darkness and sadness and grief. And then they're asking how they can give back to us as an organisation now. And a lot of women, so 80% will go on and have a healthy full-term baby, a beautiful rainbow baby. And that's something incredibly powerful, another message of hope that needs to be spread and celebrated as well. And so it's really great when women have been supported by us and now they want to give back to us, and they may hold a fundraiser for us, or they may take part in a local event for us, or they may just shout out on social media so that more women can find us. And that's incredibly powerful. And it's also one of the reasons that we partnered with Love to Dream Swaddle Up, so that we're giving our community a way to celebrate a rainbow baby, which is so incredibly important and special, but also then give back to an organisation like ourselves. And we then can use those funds to be able to increase our circle of support. So it's just such a beautiful message all the way around.
It's lovely. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Samantha Payne, CEO and co-founder of the Pink Elephant Support Group. Now, the group is really active on social media, and it's a great Facebook page to join in on and support in any way you can. They've produced a great video where a whole group of people speak about their experience of early pregnancy loss.
I've had two miscarriages. I've had 10 miscarriages.
I've had 3 miscarriages.
I've had 6 miscarriages.
And I've had 2.
We've had 1 miscarriage, yeah, which was hard enough.
It came out straight of the blue. I woke up with severe cramping and bleeding.
Well, I didn't know I was having a miscarriage. I just, I had one teeny tiny incy-wincy drop of blood.
With an early scan, just basically showing that it was what we call a blighted ovum, which is when there's just a sac and no baby.
I was quite lucky to have the support that I did because I had close friends that had been through this sort of thing before.
I felt really, like, trapped in this grief. I felt like I was trying to speak to people and tell them that I really wasn't coping.
I struggled speaking with the most of my family except probably just my mother. The biggest thing with miscarriage is the self-blame.
No, it was really weird. I never blamed myself. I think I dissociated from everything that was going on. I think I had to.
We're starting to feel a bit of that, feel a bit of guilt, and felt like, you know, I was partly to blame for that by not keeping Stace calm and keeping the relationship settled during that period of time. So it definitely did creep in a little bit.
Which breaks me. I need to say again, everyone's filming us, we never have that power.
So I think it's society, our reaction to grief. I feel like we just don't cope with grief very well.
I really feel like it's got to do with feeling like you've failed in some way. That you couldn't quite do it. Maybe something's wrong with you. We innately as women have this idea that we should bear children and there should be no complications and it should look like those lovely Huggies ads.
Because it's disenfranchised. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's really uncomfortable place for people.
Some of the really unhelpful things you can say to somebody who has experienced such a loss.
Well, at least you know you can get pregnant or... Oh, well, at least it happened really early, so you didn't get too attached.
So the most unhelpful thing was, don't worry, you'll have a baby.
You can try again.
It's okay, you're still young.
Here are some words that might be helpful to say.
It's not your fault, a little more.
I'm sorry, what can I do to help you?
I don't think I really wanted to hear anything. I think I just wanted someone to listen to me when I was just crying.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
That's all I needed to hear.
To stop and allow yourself, allow your psyche to catch up with what's going on for your body physically.
Just make sure that you're sitting and feeling what you're feeling.
Reach out to communities and to other women you know who have gone through this.
Reach out to people and whether it's a friend or a family member or your GP, just talk to someone.
Pink Elephant Support Group is on Facebook and there is a link on the Baby Talk Facebook page to the video that you heard some comments from. And, of course, on the Baby Talk website, there are links into Pink Elephants as well. With October being Pregnancy Loss Awareness Month, our best wishes to anybody who's experienced a tragic loss like this. And of course, there are many ways that you can help organisations like this continue with the amazing work that they do to help other women and men who've experienced such a loss. If you have got any spare time or spare change that you can donate, I'm sure it would be gratefully received. Baby Talk, if you've just found us, is a weekly podcast from the ABC, and we talk about all things babies and pregnancy. Last week, we had a terrific experience meeting up with another incredibly motivated mother who helps families navigate their way through the NDIS when their child has a disorder or a syndrome that doesn't have a name.
My youngest was born in 2006 and she was born with an undiagnosed genetic condition. So we went through a diagnostic odyssey trying to get a diagnosis and finally we did get one after 9 years. But in those early years, I was looking for a support group and there wasn't anything. You know, you had Down syndrome, Australia, Victoria, you had cystic fibrosis. But if you had a child with an undiagnosed condition, you had no support group. So rather than whinge about it, I decided to do something about it.
If you want to find this podcast or any others in our vast library, head on over to iTunes or, of course, the ABC's own podcasting app, which is called the Listen app. You can download it onto your phone. Or if you've just got a computer that you can listen on, again, Baby Talk, one word, we'll find our website and all the podcasts that we've put together. I'm Penny Johnston. I'll catch you next time on Baby Talk.
ABC Baby Talk is a weekly podcast on ABC Digital Radio, wherever you get your podcasts and on the ABC Listen app. Like us on Facebook to find out as soon as a new episode is ready. Just search for ABC Baby Talk.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.